Nunam and Beis, about two-thirds of the way down, in the two dots, Omer of Huna. Now, we've been discussing the case of a pot, that you pull out the pot from the box, and you and inadvertently what happens is the shearings that are used to insulate the pot start moving around, and therefore there's a chashash of tiltul muktza. Omer of Huna, Haisli Kusta. Now we're going to use the Hebrew translation, Tzemach Noe, some sort of beautiful plant, Lemare Ulareach, and it has a fragrant odor, and it grows from the ground, and what they do is, they pull it out of the ground, and Toch Venosa Bekad, they have a special small vase, a pot, and they put in Afolach, some sort of moist soil, in or dirt into this pot, and then they put the slikusta, this plant that they pull out of the ground, and they put it into this vase. Vinitan lifnei sarim, and it's placed in front of some very high officers, and they enjoy the fragrance. And what they do is, when they want to smell it, is not lo me'akad, they take it out of this container, this pot. Umachziro akkachlum komo. And afterwards they put it back into the ground. And now the question is moving the offer. Because inside the pot you have offer. Offer is mukta. So Rav Huna tells us the following. Datsa, which means that if he penetrates, right, dotza means knots in Hebrew, and knots es haslikusta, he already put it into this pot, offer, on Erev Shabbos, the shalfa, and then he pulls it out, so he inserted it, and he withdrew it, on Shabbos. No, I'm sorry. Everything's happening on Friday, my mistake. So again, he pulled it out of the ground. He filled up the pot with offer. And now he inserts the plant, after he pulled it out of the ground, into this offer. Everything's happening on Friday. And then shalfa. Now he takes it out again. Vahadar datsa. And he puts it back in on Friday into the pot. So he pulls it out of the pot, and he puts it back into the pot. It's sharia. And what it means is that he already widened the opening for this plant to enter into. And therefore, if he pulls it out on Shabbos, Kevan Shekvar Hisrachev HaNekev, since the opening has already been widened, therefore when he pulls it out on Shabbos, or he puts it back on Shabbos, he's not going to cause any tiltul of mukta. But he lav, if he hadn't inserted it and pulled it out before Shabbos, also then on Shabbos he's not allowed to pull it out, and certainly not to put it back in, because then he's going to be metaltil the offer of mukta. So just to summarize, with regard to this slikusta plant, if he inserted it into the earth and withdrew it and inserted it once more again before Shabbos, then it's permissible on Shabbos to remove it, because the mukta soil has already been widened and the hole in which the slikusta is inserted into has already been widened, such that now when he inserts it or withdraws it on Shabbos, he's not going to be moving mukta. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel has something very similar in the case of Sakina de Bene Urbe. Hi Sakina, Amar Shmuel, hi Sakina de Bene Urbe. It's a knife that he inserts between levels of bricks, Bein Shuras HaLevenim Shebebinyan, and that's where he keeps the knife to protect it. So is he allowed to, under what circumstance is he allowed to put it back in on Shabbos? Dotza, if he inserts the knife on Erev Shabbos, between the bricks, and Shofa, again, on Erev Shabbos, he pulls it out, Fahadar Dotza, and then he inserts it a second time around Shari. Then he's allowed to pull it out on Shabbos and put it back in. He was already misrachim, a marchiv, the nekev. He already opened up the hole into which he inserts the knife. And therefore, when he pulls out the knife or puts it back in, he's not causing any tiltal to the afar of the levanim. He's not moving the afar, the dirt or stones or whatever it might be between the rows of bricks, but ilav osur. If he did not do this entire ritual, this entire performance of ne'itza, shlifa, ne'itza again, to take it out, to put it in, take it out, and put it in again, mibojom on Friday, then osur. On Shabbos, he's not allowed to neither pull it out or put it back in, because if he does so, then he has, since the hole has not yet been formed, then when he removes the knife, he's going to cause to loosen the sand and move it, the sand that lies between the bricks. Now, there is a pshat here, the Trumas Hadeshen, and he interprets it as a reference to the Iser of Binyan. That it's quite possible that when he removes the knife, he widens the hole, and that's a told of Meleches Bone, otherwise known as Kodeach. Now, a similar halacha we have in the name of Marzuchi, Tema Rav Ashi Omar, Be Gurdiyasa De Kani, Bein HaKanim Shel Min Ilan. So between these reeds of a particular Min Ilan, a type of a tree, and he doesn't tell you exactly which tree it is, but between the reeds, sheyotzim migizo konim rabim utzfufim betachteihem, that coming out of the root of this tree are many different reeds, and they are crowded together at the base of this tree, shaper dummy. What he's allowed to do is he's allowed to take the knife that Shmuel spoke about before and do ne'itza, which means to insert it between these reeds. These reeds are very compact, and he's allowed to put it between the reeds, shaper dummy. And we don't have to be afraid, shema yigrar min aklipa v'yachlikas hakonim v'yavar mishum aleches mermachik, that maybe as he inserts or withdraws the knife from between the reeds, he might somehow scrape off the outer klipa, the outer surface layer of the reeds, and by smoothing out the reeds, he violates Meleches Memachik. And we don't have to be concerned about this. So let's just summarize. What Marzuch is saying is that you're allowed to insert the knife for safekeeping into a comb of reeds, comb C-O-M-B, which is a cluster of densely packed reeds, and he doesn't have to be concerned that he might scrape off or peel off a reed, and that is smoothing the reed, and he violates Meleches Memachet. Omalei, now, let's just give a little bit of introduction based on a mission at the beginning of Masechta Kelim, which is going to be a kasha on Rav Huna and Shmuel, for that matter, who say that as long as you inserted this plant into the pottery and you pulled it out, all this before Shabbos, you inserted it again before Shabbos, and then fine, you're allowed to take it out and put it in, as long as you prepared that hole and widened it before Shabbos, or in the case of the knife between the bricks, you whatever sand that might have gotten moved out of the way was already moved when you put it in and took it out on Erev Shabbos. We have a problem from a Mishnah in Kilai. Now, the Mishnah is talking about a sociology of that time. They used to hide a piece of bread, in the ground, the moist ground, and obviously they wrapped it in some sort of paper or whatever it was, but by putting it into the ground, they prevented it from drying up. Now, in certain cases, certain scenarios, it's considered zriya when he puts it in the ground, and in other scenarios, it's not considered zriya. And this is relevant to four different halachas. Number one, it's relevant to the halach of Klai HaKerem, because let's say he hides or submerges his bread-like substance under a vine. So if he is considered to be Zorea, then he violates the Isur of Klai HaKerem, mixing, as it were, grains with a vine. And the Torah says in Parashas Ki Tetzei Lo Tizra Karmacha Kilayim. And the second relevancy is going to be for Shvius, because during the seventh year, we're not allowed to plant our fields. And that's based on a pasuk at the end of Vayikra. It says, "U'b'shana shviyis sadcha lo tizra." Number three, we have halacha called tosefes, which means that if you have a vegetable, for example, and you mafresh maser, and then you plant it, and it continues to grow, under certain conditions, you have to be mafrish maser from the tosefes. It's not enough that the part that before you planted it, you were mafrish maser, you have to now have a second afrosh on the tosefes. And this is based on a sugi in the Dorim Nun Zayin. Hazore Yerek Meusar Badoma. And the Gemara wants to know if there was a tosefes, does he need a separate maser afrosh on the tosefes? Now finally, the fourth halacha that this is relevant to is if you take a vegetable and you plant it in the ground, then if you harvest that vegetable on Shabbos, you violate Meleches Kotzer. So the Mishnah in Kilayim wants to address the following question. Under what circumstances, in what scenario, is the Yerek that you put into the ground considered Zorea for all those halachas that we mentioned earlier? Amale Rav Mardechai LeRava, Masiv Rav Katina Tyuvta. Rav Katina has an objection on the words that we had of Rav Huna and Shmuel, who said that in the case of Slikusta, or in the case of Sakin, you're not allowed to pull it out of the Afar unless you inserted it, withdrew it, and put it back in on Erev Shabbos. From the Mishnah in Kilayim, Hatomein Lefes Utsnonos. He buries a turnip or radishes in the ground under the grapevine. So I told you before that he was placing a piece of bread to under the ground in order to keep it moist. It could be that was also part of their sociology, but that's not the subject of this Mishnah. I apologize for that. We're talking about a turnip or radishes. Obviously, we're talking about vegetables that he planted, so to speak, planted in the ground. And again, he did this in order that they shouldn't dry up. And the Mishnah tells us that if he could even place them underneath a vineyard that's called Tachas HaGefen, and he doesn't have any intention to plant it. He's only trying to prevent it getting dried up and preserve it. What we need is that part of its leaves be exposed on the ground. And this is relevant to the last of the four halachas that we mentioned. Excuse me, that we mentioned earlier with regard to Shabbos and the malacha of Ktsira, if you pull it out on Shabbos. And it also could be relevant on Shabbos to the Iser of Tiltul Muktza, meaning that if some of the leaves are exposed, then you could circumvent the Iser Muktza when you pull out the radish or the turnip from the ground. If none of the leaves are exposed, then he'd be forced to directly move the Muktza earth in order to get at the vegetable. There's no other way he can get access to the vegetable. Now, as far as the laws of Shvius and Kalayim and Masur is concerned, there's no relevancy to the question whether the leaves are exposed or not exposed. In any event, at this point, we want to turn to Daf Nun Aleph Amid Aleph. And the Mishnah emphasizes, Lo Mishum Kalayim, in other words, as far as Kalayim is concerned, even if there's no leaves that are exposed above the ground, you're allowed to put this turnip underneath the kerem, and that's not considered Zriya. And Lo Mishum Shvius, and therefore on Shvius, in all cases that you put the turnip with the radish in the ground, that's not considered Zriya for the violation of the Issur Zriya on Shvius. V'lo mishum maser. And he would not have to be mafresh maser from anything that grows as a tosefes beyond what was, you know, what was there when he put it in the ground. So again, in all these cases, he's not interested in Zriya. He's just trying to preserve the moisture of the vegetable, and therefore, that's fine. However, when we get to Nitolim v'Shabbos, here we need to fulfill that condition that part of the olim, part of the leaves, are exposed on top of the ground. Then he could grab onto these leaves, which are exposed, pull out the vegetable from underground, and even though, as a result, the offar, the dirt, is going to move this way or that way, that's called tiltul min atzad. That's not a direct tiltul of muktza. It's indirect. And if the entire vegetable would be submerged under the ground, and there are no mixes ol megulim, then although it's not considered zriya for all the halachas that we mentioned, but nevertheless, it's enom nitol b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to pull it out on Shabbos because there's no way that you could grab it without moving the offer this way or that way, and that would be a violation of tiltul muktz. It's only when the olim are above ground, then he could pull it out, and the tiltul muktz would be tiltul min atzad. So what we derive from this Mishnah is that when you take a yerek, you take a vegetable, and you submerge it underground, even though you didn't pull it out, put it back in on Erev Shabbos, nevertheless you're allowed to pull it out on Shabbos, even though the offer, right, will move automatically me'elov. And that's because it's tiltul min atzad. And what about, you know, Rav Huna and Shmuel? I mean, they said you're not allowed to remove something that's in afar unless you open wide the nekev by inserting it, withdrawing it, and reinserting it before Shabbos. Here, the Mishnah would allow you to pull it out without all these conditions, without the whole ritual, as long as you can get a hold of the leaves that grew above ground, And the Gemara ends with Tuvta. Now Tosis points out this is only a Tuvta because the Gemara refuses to accept what Rav Huna and Shmuel would have to, by implication, would have to interpret this Mishnah as referring to a case where he took the lefes, he took the radish or the turnip, and he put it inside the ground, pulled it out, and put it back in before Shabbos. That's an ukimta that the Gemara is not excited about. Let's also add another point, and that is that in the case of slikusta, or in the case of the sack and the knife, that's also when he pulls it out and he moves the mukta. If he hadn't done this whole procedure on Erev Shabbos, that's also tiltul min atzad, because the earth or sand particles caused by the removal of this silkusta or the knife is indirect movement, which would seem to be permissible. So again, if we leave out the problem of meleches kodeach and we just simply focus exclusively our attention on the problem of movement of mukta with regard to the offer and the sand and so forth, that would not seem to be a problem based on this Mishnah in Kilai. Okay, now we begin the new Mishnah on the top of Daf Nun Aleph Omen Aleph. Until now, the Mishnah gave us a list of those materials that are permissible for Atmana, and now the Mishnah wants to tell us other dinim of Atmana. Lo ki so mibodyom, lo yichasenu mishatech shach. If he did not insulate his pot on Erev Shabbos, then an Erev Shabbos here means when it got dark. Usually mibodyom means before Ben Hashmashos, but that's not what it means here, because we already established back on Daf Lamed Dalid that Mutala Hatvin Ben Hashmashos is Lo Yechasenu Mishatech Shach. If it's already Shabbos, too late for insulating a pot, because on Shabbos it's Asur Lahatvin even Bedovah She'enu Mosif Hevel, even if it only retains the heat and it doesn't increase the heat. Because we're always worried that maybe when he comes to be matmin on Shabbos, he'll find that his pot has cooled off and he'll start heating up his pot and he'll violate Meleches Bishul on Shabbos. So once it's dark, forget it. There's no possibility of doing Hatmana even in the Dover She'eno Mosif Hevel on Shabbos itself. Okay, that's the opening line in the Mishnah. Now, we go on in the Mishnah. Is there a situation where it's permissible to do Atmana on Shabbos? And that's Kisohu Vinizgale. So on Friday, he insulated, covered his pot, and now his pot became revealed. So his pot is no longer insulated. The Mishnah Paskins rules that you're allowed to insulate it on Shabbos itself. So you can't begin a Hatmana on Shabbos, but you can replace a Hatmana on Shabbos. And here we have a machlokes between Tosfos and other Rishonim. When exactly was this pot Nisgala. Let's give a good English translation word, Nisgala. Let's call it uncovered. Tosis interprets that we're talking about a case where he uncovered it for the purpose in his plan, his intention was to cover it after it gets dark. And this is called Tchilas Hatmana, and it's Asur. However, if it became uncovered on Shabbos itself, and it matters not whether it became uncovered by itself, somehow the insulation fell off, or if he deliberately, biyadayim, uncovered it, in both cases, He's allowed to cover it again, to insulate it again. That's the sheet of Tosfos. The Bala Truma, one of the other Rishonim, writes that if it was uncovered before Shabbos, then under all circumstances, it's asur to cover it and insulate it after it gets dark on Friday night on Shabbos. That's considered a brand new hatmana. Our Mishnah that permits a Atmana, if it was once done and now it was Niskala, that's a case where it was revealed and uncovered on Shabbos itself. So going into Shabbos, it was covered, it was insulated. On Shabbos, it became uncovered. And that is permissible to do another Atmana, because it was covered on Shabbos, and that you could do even if you deliberately be a dime, uncovered it. So again, just to summarize, according to Shitas HaTosfos, the Mishnah is talking about a case where it was uncovered before Shabbos. And according to Tosfos, here we're going to make a difference between Nisgala Me'leha as opposed to Gila B'Yadayim. According to Tosfos, even if it was Nisgala before Shabbos, but it was Me'leah, he didn't actively uncover it, he's allowed to do the Atman on Shabbos. Only in a case where he deliberately, with his two hands, he uncovered the Atmana, then on Shabbos he's not allowed to cover it off. Whereas according to Sefer Truma, under all circumstances, even if it was Nisgala Me'leah, on Erev Shabbos, there's no Heter Atmana. The only Heter Atmana that the Mishnah is addressing here, Mutal Lechasoso, is in a case where your Atmana of Erev Shabbos crossed the bounds into Shabbos itself. So when we started Shabbos and it got dark, it was in a state of Atmana. Let's go on to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that even though there's an Isur Atmana on Shabbos, the exception to that is Memale Odom v'Shabbos Es HaKiton B'mayim Tzonenim V'nosein L'tachas HaKar O L'tachas HaKeses. When it comes to cold food, he's allowed to fill up a bottle of cold water, place it under a cushion, under a bolster, and he's doing this in order to make sure that it retains its cold temperature and it shouldn't get hot because it's a hot summer day. That's mutter. Hatmana is only asur with regard to hot food that he wants to insulate and keep it hot. But if he has cold food and he wants to place it under a cushion in such a way that there's no heat, but on the contrary, he wants to keep it insulated from the heat and keep it cold, that's permissible. So warming food to insulate warm food, that's also on Shabbos, to keep it warm. But insulating cold food to keep it cold is permitted on Shabbos. And this leads us to the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mutar Lahatmin Es Atavshil Atzonein B'Shabbos. If your purpose, your goal, is to take a pot of cold food, and you want to insulate that cold food on Shabbos to keep it cold, that's permissible. And Tanina, the Gemara asks, I don't understand, Omar of Yosef, Michael Mashmal, what exactly is Rav Yudim Shmuel doing? He seems to be reiterating exactly what it says in the Mishnah. Memali Odom Kiton, Sheltzonein, Vinosin Taksakaro, Takasakeses, Kadeshlo Yischamimu. So what did Shmuel add that we didn't see in the Mishnah? Omar Leia Baye, Tuva Kamashmal. There's an important chiddush that Shmuel is trying to teach us. The imi masnis, and if I only had the Mishnah, hava min, I would have said animili dover she'ein darko lahatmin. Like cold water is something that, generally speaking, we don't insulate it. Who puts it under under some sort of a cushion, a pillow? Nobody would do such a thing. And therefore, let's say, for example, not cold water, but let's say you had a tavshil, which generally speaking, there is hatmana in a tavshil. That's called aval dovash darko lahatmin. So you had a tavshil and it was warm and you wanted to keep it warm, so you would insulate it. Now he wants to do the same thing with a tavshil. Not with chamin, not with cold water, and keep it cold, and preserve its cold temperature. That should be awesome. Why? Because it's a dovish darko lahatmin. We're talking about a tavshil. We're not talking about chamin. We're not talking about water now. We're talking about keeping a pot of food cold by insulating it in such a way that it will retain its cold temperature. And in such a case, it's the flip side of the classic hatmona of a tavshil that's cham, that's hot, and you want to insulate it to maintain it and preserve its heat. So let's go one step further, and although in the case of our Mishnah, where we're talking about mayim tzonanim, where we're talking about a keton, which is a flask of cold water, that for sure doesn't lend itself to hatmona, if the classic hatmona means to keep something hot, and therefore you're allowed to keep it cold by doing atmona takasakar. But in the case of a tavshil, which is a kedera, a pot full of hot solid food, but in this case, instead of doing hot solid food to insulate it to maintain its heat, it's a cold pot of food, but again, cooked food that he wants to maintain its cold temperature, and he does atmona. I might think that that's also included in the Isra atmona. Because if we allow you to do atmana in this tavshil when it's cold, you might come to do atmana when it's hot. Komash malon, Shmuel teaches me that even a tavshil, not only cham, not only water, a keton shalmayim, is also mutar batmana if he's keeping it cold. He's preserving its cold temperature. Omar Avhuna, Omar Rebbe. There's a girsa question here whether it should be Rebbe or Rav. And this is going to go against Shmuel. Osur lahatmin v'shabbos es hatzone. You're not allowed to insulate cold food on Shabbos. So the Gemara right away asks a stira from a brice. So Asani, you have a brice that says Rebbe hita lahatmin es hatzone. Lo kasha. Homakami delishmei mi Rebbe yishmol b'Rebbe Yosi v'hol abosur delishmei. So we have an episode here with Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi. Let's just read the episode and then we'll go back to what we just read in the Gemara. Ki hadi Yosef Rebbe v'Omar. Rebbe had a maisa, he had an episode. And he told us, also lahatmin esatzone, that you're not allowed to preserve cold food. And then Omar lefana Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Shmuel testifies about his father, Rabbi Yossi, Abba, my father, Rabbi Yossi, hitil lahatmin es hatzone. And when Rabbi heard this, immediately he rescinded his original position, lechumra. Omar, he declared, kvar horizoken, that the great elder statesman, Rabbi Yossi, has already been matir, and therefore I'm going to retract what I said before. So now we go back to the two brisos that we mentioned. that were quoted by Rav Huna that contradict each other. According to the first Brice, the Rebbe said, you know, let it be Matman as Hatzone. And the second Brice says, Rebbe himself ruled that it's permissible to insulate a cold pot of food. And the difference is that Rebbe's original position was stringent. And then when he heard the testimony of Rabbi Shmuel about his father, Rabbi Yossi, he rescinded, he retracted his original statement, and now he's making. That's the second Brice. Omar HaPapa. Okay, Omar HaPapa. HaPapa makes an agadic comment on this last story of Rebbe, who retracted his statement after he heard about Rabbi Yossi. Bo re'e kama mechavavin ze et ze. Take a look at the great endearment of Rebbe for Rabbi Yossi. She'ilu Rabbi Yossi hayakaya. If Rabbi Yossi had been alive, hayakofu fi Yosef le Rebbe, he would be like a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe, his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and he would subordinate himself in front of Rebbe. And although he was greater than Rebbe, perhaps, in Torah knowledge, but he would subordinate himself in Rebbe because Rebbe was the Nasi. He would never have boldly issued any sort of halachic ruling in the presence of Rebbe, out of respect and deference for Rebbe. And yet, paradoxically, Ka'omar Kvar Horizokin, Rebbe says that now that there was a ruling which I wasn't aware of, a Rabbi Yossi, Lahatir, in the case of Tzonin, as far as insulating something that's Tzonin, now Rebbe sees himself as Kiyu subordinate to Rabbi Yossi. Very interesting. There is reciprocity here, in both directions. Rebbe for Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi if he had been alive for Rebbe. Now the Gemara tells us about Rav Nachman with regard to Hatmonis Tzonen and also with regard to Bishol Akum. Omalei Rav Nachman Lidoru Avde. Rav Nachman had a servant by the name of Doru. And he told him, Atmin Li Tzonen Bishabas, please insulate my cold pot so that it retains its temperature as cold. On a weekday, Rav Nachman says to Doru, I see li mayo di achim kapilar mo. Bring me water that was heated up by a kfela, that's a chef, who's an arma, he's a guy. And the chiddush here is that this water is being heated by a non-Jewish cook. And this is a big chiddush because we have an issa called Bishul Akum, and we don't allow a non-Jewish cook or a chef to cook for us. And Shama Rebbe Ami. Rebbe Ami heard about this leniency of Rav Nachman in two halachas v'yikpid, and he was very, very put aback by it. So that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that in order to give us a harchaka from chasnus, the Rabbanim prohibited eating food that was cooked by non-Jews, even if it's all kosher. So there's no possibility of any admixture of non-kosher, let's say in the presence of a Jew. And for some reason, apparently Rav Nachman held that this prohibition does not apply to a cup of cold water, to cooking water. And the question is, why not? So first, we want to know about Rav Ami, and then we want to know about Rav Nachman. Oh, Rav Yosef, my time at Ikpid, why was Rav Ami makpid in this question? Why did he object? Kiravase of it. Because he followed in the Horah the teachings of his Rebbeim, and apparently that gave him the gumption to object to the two horos of Rav Nachman. Chada, kirav, with regard to one hora, he followed in the footsteps of his Rebbe Rav. Chada, and with regard to another particular hanhaga, he applied the principle of his other Rebbe, Shmuel, because Rav Yosef had two Rebbeim. So the Gemara explains, when he heard about Rav Nachman, who was lenient in allowing insulating cold food on Shabbos, here Rabbi Ami was knowing like his Rebbe Shmuel. The Omer Rabbi Yudom Shmuel, Mutal Ahatmin Esatzonen. Okay, so Rabbi Yehudah Shmuel, just 1 second. Mutal Lahatmin Esatzonen. I'm sorry. So let's go back. My timer, Omer Rav Yosef, my timer Ikpid. Why was Rav Ami Makpid? Ke Ravase Ovid. Ah. So this, I'm sorry, is based on the, this is a, I'm sorry, an embellishment of the Kasha, that the Gemara doesn't understand why Rav Ami was Makpid. Because Rav Nachman, with regard to Atmana, was relying on his Rebbe Shmuel, who said Mutal Ahatman. So why are you faulting Rav Nachman? And as far as water that was heated up by a guy, Rav Nachman was relying on Rav. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rav Shmuel bar Rav, Yitzchok Omer Rav, Kol Shu Nechal Kamo Shu Chai, Ein Bo Mishum Bishol Nachrim. That the Iser, the enactment of the Chacham with regard to Bishol Nachrim, only applies to something that needs cooking. It's not edible raw. But in the case of water, water is certainly edible raw, and therefore there's no Iser of Bishalaku based on the principle of Rav. So the Gemara wants to know, what was Rav Ami's big objection over here? Savar, so the Gemara explains that Rav Ami thought Adam Choshev Shaini, that Rav Nachman's status as an Odom Choshuv is different. He makes it different. He should be machmer on himself, even in things that other people maybe rely on at Terim. If other people think it's Asur, then again, he may have a lumdus here. You know, people think Atman is Asur on Shabbos. They don't make a difference between the distinction between hot food and cold food. And an Odom Choshuv should, in a sense, appease or fit into the perspective or the attitude of the Rabbim, of the Anoshim Acherim, and he should be Machmer himself based on what they think is us. So they might think the Bishalachim is us, even in the case of a Dovah Shenechal Kmo Tshucha. And therefore he should be more Machmer. As far as Rav Nachman is concerned, he thinks that an Odom Choshev doesn't have to be Machmer in that which is Mutar Al Pi Din. And the Chidah says that who savar Odom Choshev Shaini, he didn't say Odom Choshev Shaini, it means that Rav Asi thought that an Odom Choshev is Shaini, and he has to be Machmer on himself, but that was not the opinion of Rav Nachman. Now, as far as Hatmona is concerned, getting back to Hatmona, in the case of a pot of hot food, and we said that on Shabbos the Chachamim enacted Gzeira that you're not allowed to be, you're not allowed to insulate your food even for the sake of preserving its heat. The Brice that we're about to learn now gives us situations and enumerates scenarios in which the Chacham would allow you to insulate on Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan afal pi shomru ein tomnin afil b'dovash ein mosif hevel, that on Shabbos you're not allowed to insulate your pot in something that preserves its heat. Misha chashecha, which means that once it gets dark and Shabbos has begun, we're not going to allow you to insulate your pot, but davish, even though it's a davish ain't a mosif hevel, and because he may find to his surprise that it's not really hot, that he might, and it's not heating up, so he may start heating up his food. But in bala hosif mosif, in a situation where he started the hatmana on Erev Shabbos, and now he wants to add and enhance his hatmana, expand on it by covering an extra kisui, an extra covering, then he's allowed to be mosif hatmana on Shabbos itself. And we don't assume that if he's involved in being mosif on a pot that's already insulated, that he's going to start heating up his food. So if he wishes to add additional insulation on top of his original insulation, he's allowed to do so. Ketzad hu oseh. Now the Braisa asks the following question. If he's adding to his hatmana on Shabbos, or, for example, let's say he may want to change his hatmana on Shabbos. Ketzad hu oseh? Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, if he did hatmana on Erev Shabbos, let's say he used sheets of flax, and now he wants to do a better job and upgrade his insulation, is notel es hasdinim. He's allowed to remove these sheets of flax from the kedera, umeidiach, and he can replace them es ha glufkarin, by placing on top of his pot a woolen garment which does a better job than sheets of flax, of linen. Oh, alternatively, let's say during the summer months he covered his pot with some sort of a garment of wool, and now he's afraid that because of the summer heat, maybe the heat is going to be too hot and his tavshil will spoil, right? It'll be overcooked. Is notel es aglufkarin? He's allowed to remove the tzemer. He's allowed to remove the wool. Umeiniach, and he can replace it with stidim shel pishtin. So he can either upgrade it, let's say during the cold months, if he realizes that the stidim of flax are just not doing the job, and he upgrades it by switching one covering and replacing it with a more heavy duty, in this case a wool cover, or the opposite, he can downgrade it during the summer months from glufkarin, which is wool, down to these sheets of linen. So he's allowed to remove the sheets from on top of the pot and place coats in their stead. He's allowed to remove the coats and place the sheets in their stead, as we discussed earlier. Now, we had a Tanakami in this price, so now we have Rav Shimon Gamliel. Is Rav Shimon Gamliel just interpreting the Tanakama, or he's cholik on the Tanakama? Tosus understood that Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to be cholik on the first Tana. The first Tana, the Brais Tanakama, would allow adding new insulation on top of the old insulation, whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel came one step further and he extended his heter to replacing the old insulation with an entirely new insulation. Rav Ben Yonah disagrees with Tosfos. He understood that Rav Shimon Gamliel is just interpreting the Tanakama, and according to Rav Ben Yonah, both the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel agree that he can either add new insulation on top of the old one, or he can replace the old one with new insulation. Now the Braisa adds another din with regard to Hatmana. Taman, if he insulated around the kedera, v'kisa alpia, and he covered even the top of the of the pot. Just one second. Just wondering if I skipped something. I'm sorry. Ah, v'chein ha'yir Rabbi Gamliel Omer. Okay. So we're talking about a case of another leniency of Rabbi Gamliel with regard to Hatmana. Lo asru ela oso mecham. The iser of Hatmana in the case of a kettle of water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, and we're afraid that if it's getting colder, he may be tempted to heat it up. That's only with regard to one kettle. There was the original kettle that he heated up on Erev Shabbos. Aval in Pina, and I think we discussed this yesterday, that if he pours the contents of one kettle into a second kettle, then he's allowed mutar, he's allowed to do atmana on the second kettle, as long as it's a domeshed emosif heva. Here we don't have the gzerav that he might come to heat up the water, and the Gemara explains why. Hashta kuri kamaikerle, now that he pours the contents of the first kettle in the second, while he's cooling it off, obviously we remain hotter in the first kettle. Is our tuche kamirtachle? Are we afraid that now he's going to come to heat up his water? I mean, obviously he's involved. He's already initiated the process of cooling off his kettle. That's what we have here, is an additional kula of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Toman v'kisa b'dovra nitol b'shabbos. So he insulated the pot around its sides. He covered the mouth of the pot with something that may be moved on Shabbos. In other words, it's not mukta. And he placed on this open pot, in which is being insulated in some substance, once it's been earmarked, he was miyachid it fatmana, it's not muktza. And if this hatmana surrounds the sides of the pot but doesn't cover the pot, he's allowed then to cover the mouth of the pot with something that's not muktza. So again, toma v'kisa v'dovra nitol b'shabbos, that's not muktza. Oh, now what happens? Toman so that which he surrounds his pot to insulate it on the sides is mukta, but kisa, but he covered the pot bidavar hanito b'shabbos, in something that's not mukta. So then the Brisa says, "Areza notelu machzir." He's allowed to remove the lid of the pot on Shabbos, hold on to the pot, take it out and put it back in, because he's not moving mukta. So in this scenario, he's removing the cover, and in that way he's not moving anything that's mukta. He can now pull out the pot. Let's say he holds on to the rim of the pot, he lifts it up, and the fact that the sides of the pot were surrounded, insulated by mukta material, that doesn't bother him, because that's tiltul min atzad. However, toman v'kisa b'dover she'enu nitol b'shabbos, if not only were the sides, the outside sides of the pot, surrounded by mukta, but even the lid of the pot, on top of the pot, was also b'dover she'enu nitol b'shabbos, now he's got a serious problem. Oh, alternatively, he has a problem in the case of Toman b'dovra nitol b'shabbos v'kisa b'dovra she'enu nitol b'shabbos, even if the outer insulation surrounding the pot was with non-mukta, but now the lid of the pot is mukta, is in this case, what are we going to say? Can he remove the pot on Shabbos in order to empty out its contents. So the Braisa stipulates, Im hoya megula miktsaso, if part of the covering of the pot was exposed, this reminds us of the case of the radish and the turnip that we had before, that he submerged it in the ground, but part of it is revealed, is uncovered, and then he could use that part and pull that out, and the rest is still 2 minutes side, is then notel, he can pull up the kedera by holding on to that part that's megula, the lid of the pot, and then he's going to have to tip over the pot onto its side and pour out anything that's inside the pot. The cover of the pot, as he tilts it over, will fall on its own. Umachziros, and now he's going to be able to put the pot back into its place. But in lav, if there's no part of the lid that's exposed, which means the entire lid is covered, is then eno notel umachzir. He has no point at which he can hold on to the lid and move it in such a way that the muktzah will fall me'elav. And in such a case, it's going to be aser, because the entire mouth of the pot is covered by muktzah. So that if part of the mouth is exposed, and the muktzah item did not cover the entire pot, the top of the pot, the mouth of the pot, then he can remove it and he can put it back on. Because he can remove the pot without moving the muktzah cover. And then he simply, as we said before, tilts the pot and he allows the muktzah material to slide off by itself. But if there's no pot that's megula, then he has no opportunity to get the pot out without moving muktzah. And now we're on Daf Nun Aleph Ahmed Beis, and we're hoping to complete Perek Bameh Tomlin, the fourth Perek. Let's see if we're able to do so. Now, in the Mishnayos earlier on Daf Mem Zayin Mem Tes, we understood that you're not allowed to be matmin on Erev Shabbos even b'davar shu mosif hevel. And the Tana gave us a list of all the materials that are mosif hevel. Now we have a brisa that goes into detail. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Niores. One second. We're talking about fine flax combings, shel pishton, daka, and it's very fine. In Hebrew we call it Soles daka nofelis min apishuk shinim natztuim opo. Also, harehi kizevo. It has the same status as animal manure, which the Mishnah had already stipulated is a dovra mosif hevel. So therefore, the orishal pishna daka has the same status as zevel, which is a dovra mosif hevel. And even on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to do atman. Now the Braisa gives us another question, addresses the issue of Hanocha Sakli al Gabi Kli Cham b'Shabbos, Meinichim Mecham al Gabi Mecham. We're permitted on Shabbos to take this copper kettle that's designated to heat up water, and we're allowed to place it with its water in it on top of another kettle, which is even hotter. The bottom kettle is going to serve to protect and preserve the heat in the upper kettle. And not only that, v'chein menicha b'Shabbos kedera shel cheres. We're talking about a pot of earthenware, and it's got in it a food that's hot, and you're allowed to place it al gabi kedera on another pot below it that's hot, that's even hotter than the one on top. All this is mutter. Avalo kedera al gabi mecham, but you're not allowed to put a pot of food on top of a hot kettle, or the reverse, velo mecham al gabi kedera, or if you have a very, very hot pot, and it's going to add and increase the heat of the liquids in the kettle, so then you're not allowed to put this kettle on top of the kedera. When he puts the kettle on top of the kedera, it looks like he's doing bishul. So you're allowed to preserve heat, like in the cases of mecham al gabi mecham or kedera al gabi kedera, but not in the reverse, not in kedera al gabi mecham or mecham al gabi kedera, because that's already nirakim evashel. That already looks like bishul. Why? Because the mecham has got boiling hot water in it. Now he puts his kedera on top of the kettle, and it really is very close to bishul. Or the reverse, where he puts his mecham, the kettle, on a very hot kedera that is now going to increase the heat of the water in the mecham. And those cases are also because of nirakim avasha. So again, if you're talking about fine flax, that has the status of manure. That's a Dora Mosif Hevel. And if you're talking about placing one kettle on top of a kettle, or one pot on top of a pot, that's okay. But to put a pot on top of a kettle, or a kettle on top of a pot, that's prohibited. Now, what's V'toch Espia B'Botzek? When he seals the top vessel's mouth with dough. So now he's closing the mouth of the kettle or the pot by placing on top of it batzek. We're talking about, let's say, a dough that was kneaded before Shabbos. And this is the way he wants to tighten the covering over the kedera in order to add, and, well, I shouldn't say add heat, but at least preserve the heat. And the Braisa prohibits this. Now, why is this prohibited? That's what I had trouble figuring this out. The dough was prepared before Shabbos. You're not allowed to prepare dough on Shabbos. So that's not a problem. So maybe when it says V'toch espia b'botzek, it doesn't go back to velo, but it's a new paragraph, V'toch, which means that you're allowed to do this. But why? After all, l'chora is Mosif Hevel. Or even on Shabbos, the Dovah Sheda Mosif Hevel. V'lo b'shvil shi'ichamu, el b'shvil shi'yu mishumarim. He's not going to increase the heat. He's just going to preserve the heat. So I'm not sure what this is going on. V'lo b'shvil shi'ichamu. So in the Masifta, he writes, lo hitiru lahaniach mecham al gabi mecham, so that he wants to heat up the water on top by putting his kettle on top of a kettle on the bottom that's hot. He's not allowed to do that, although we saw in the Braisa that he is allowed to do that, but only, now the qualification, only if shil shi'ichamu. If he wants to heat up the water in the top kettle that he's placing on the bottom kettle, then we're not going to allow him to do that. So that's not including the heter of mecham al gabi mecham. Ella, what is the heter, the permissibility of mecham al gabi mecham? That's only bishvil sheyu mishumar. That's only if he's afraid the water in the top kettle is going to cool off. He wants to maintain its heat. That we're going to allow to do. And that's the heter of mecham al gabi mecham. So the Rishonim, quoted here in the Masifta on the words bishvil shi'ichomu, say that the heat in the lower kettle of the water is so intense that it could be possible that by leaving the upper kettle on top of the lower kettle, it might come to Yad Soletispo, and he would violate Meleches Bishul. So we're going to have to, in order to justify this leniency in the Braisa of Mecham al Gabi Mecham, we're going to have to assume that the level of heat in the bottom kettle is not intense enough to possibly come to Bishul of the water in the top kettle. And that's what he calls El Shiyu, Bishvil Shiyu, Mishumar. His whole purpose and his agenda is to maintain the heat in the top kettle. And this is not considered Hatmana because it's Mecham al Gabi Mecham. Hatmana means when you insulate something by surrounding it with a Dover Hamatman. Now, with regard to Hatmanas Tzonein, we had a long discussion earlier. Now the Braisa brings Machlokas Kishem Shein Tomnin as Achamin. This reflects the Shita of Rebbe before he was Choser, but before he retracted it. And the Braisa says that just like you're not allowed to do Hatmana with regard to heat on Shabbos, to retain and preserve its heat, is Kach so too, Ein Tomnin, Esat Tzonein. We don't put Tzonein under a cushion in order to maintain its coldness so it shouldn't get hot because of the hot summer weather. And we're afraid that it'll come to do Atmana in Cham. Rebbe Hitir, Rebbe allowed this, Lahatman Esat Tzonein, and that was after he was Choser, but as we said earlier, when he heard about the testimony of Rabbi Yossi. And finally, the Braisa talks about Risuk. And risuk means crushing. And ein merazkin, which is another word for merazkin, which means to crush. We're not allowed to crush los hasheleg, not snow, los habarad, which is kerach from water that became frozen. B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to do this. B'Shvil she'yazovu meimav, in order to melt this ice so that the water will flow. And this is something that's similar to a malacha. It's a shvus because it's domel a malacha, because it's similar to being molded. It looks like he's creating something new. There was no water there before, now he's creating water. So the Bryce wants to know, so what can you do in order to defrost something that's frozen? I will know saying who, he's allowed to put the snow or the hail, litocha kos, into a cup of water. And the water is now going to, in a sense, get cold. And he's going to cool off the water. And the snow will gradually, or the ice will gradually defrost. He can't crush it with his hands. That's already molded. Oletoch hakaro, if you could put it in a bowl. And the ice will melt by itself. V'yeno choshesh, and there's no iser. Because since it's melting inside other liquids, it's not nikar, it doesn't look like he's creating new water, and it's not called molid. Hadron alecha perek bamet tomnin. And we're about to learn the fifth perek of Shabbos Mirtz Hashem, perek bamet behema yotza. And then we'll have the sixth perek for Me'e Isha Yotza. And this is all about animals carrying things and the bits and the reins and so forth and so on. And the issue of what's called Masa, which is a problem of Shvisas Behemto, Emir Tz Hashem in the next year.